This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Good morning, campers.
Al and Jerry, don't worry. It's only an hour long, and most days it doesn't suck.
It might not. Don't know, but I'll tell you this. We got lots to get to. The Eddie Scazzeri, what's up? It is a football Friday. We got cool games coming up in 20 minutes. What's up, Al?
Oh, hi there, Jerry. Not too much. I think the Giants made a dumb move. They don't have, like, you need a quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah.
That we've decided. That we figured out.
A lot of eggs on the Daniel Jones basket.
Yeah, because we know, like, for whatever reason, a couple years ago, people decided running backs are a dime a dozen. You grab them wherever you want.
Sure,
there's a million colleges, and there's a million running backs.
Mm.
The same could really be said about wide receivers, too. I mean, a wide receiver is going to get a couple throws a game. If you don't have a quarterback,
you hope that your top wide receiver gets 10 targets a game.
Targets, but how many?
100%.
How many catches is he getting?
You hope 8.
Okay. Who's getting them to him
other than
screen passes?
They're hoping that it's Daniel Jones.
That's just a dumb move. Like, we're not going to see, not that we know anything about these quarterbacks.
Correct.
But what we do know about the quarterback they have on the quarterbacks they have on the roster, you know whether guys are Super Bowl potentials or not, a couple years in, we know he's not a Super Bowl quarterback. So, see you never again for
a while?
I guess.
I don't know. We know he's a playoff quarterback because he did do that once. He did.
Guess. Well,
you got to be fair.
Okay, great.
They did do that.
All right. That doesn't get you anything.
Well, it'll get you in the playoffs. It does get you in the playoffs.
Okay. If that's what we're...
Are they a Super Bowl team with him at quarterback?
No.
I don't think so. Right. I would put my money on no.
Yeah.
Here's what you do know. That they got, and this is not me, be very clear. This is from listening to all the experts, and I just listened to a lot of them for the last hour. This kid seems to be explosive beyond all explosive. So if they can't make it work now, they ain't ever going to make it work. So could they have taken a quarterback? Yeah, of course they could have. Maybe the ones they liked went in the top three, and they weren't going to reach. I mean, you saw what the Falcons did. I'm still trying to figure that one out because they went out and got Kirk Cousins, and now they drafted a quarterback, and the GM said he can sit for 4 years. Yeah, in 1983, that's a great game plan. Doesn't seem to make sense now, but the Giants could have taken him. I don't know.
Yeah, it just feels like, I don't know. It just feels like we don't trust Daniel Jones to make it through a season. And then if you don't trust
him... Not even that, Al. Whether you trust him or not, he hasn't proven that he can. It's almost as if you've got to show us you can. Like, you can sit there... Like, trust is such a stupid word because it doesn't mean anything. You can say, we think he's going to make it through his... You don't know that. He hasn't shown the ability to stay healthy aside from, like, 1 year. So, I'm with you. I don't know.
So, the Giants don't really have a quarterback for the future. The Jets don't have a quarterback for the future. The Jets have a quarterback
for right now. Yes, the Jets are trying to win right now.
Win right now, and then we'll start all over again.
Mm-hmm.
But the Giants are just going to be in this. We're going to have more years of 8 wins, 7 wins.
You would think they're going to be a very average football team. They look to me like a team that's got a ceiling.
Yes.
And the ceiling is not 15 wins.
Right.
I think the ceiling might be 9 wins. Maybe 10.
Right. Something crazy happens and they win 10 games.
For sure. And 10-7 is a nice season, but I don't think that's a Super Bowl team.
Yeah, it's not.
You know, now they're good defensively. They should be good defensively. So that can certainly, there's different ways to win. I think we've seen that before. But I don't know. I mean, I don't know. You're going to find out right now if the wide receiver position is so much more important than the running back position because they didn't win a damn thing with Saquon Barkley. He's now in Philly, and you brought in supposedly one of the top receivers in the game.
Yeah, I don't think a wide receiver. I think a wide receiver is like a running back. I think there's a million of them, and they're not game changers if you don't have a good quarterback to get them the football. I just look at Tom Brady played with a ton of guys you never heard of. Peyton Manning played a ton of guys you never heard of.
Oh, Peyton Manning had Marvin Harrison.
In Denver. He played with a lot of randos.
I do think that you're right. They're so skilled in a lot of different areas. It does, when you have a top guy, though, like Tyreek Hill makes the Dolphins better, and he makes his quarterback better. I don't think we can argue that. There are certain guys that elevate others. Patrick Mahomes elevates everybody that he throws the ball to. But if you're talking in general terms, yeah, I think there's a lot of guys that can make plays. That having been said, we're going to find out now if Daniel Jones is indeed the problem, because if he's now got a top wide receiver and he can't make that work, then you know next year's the end. Like, it has to be. And they can get out of it after next year.
Okay. Yeah, I just feel like we're looking for answers to something we have an answer or we already got an answer to. You know what I mean? Like, we know. Like, again, we're going to be sitting here again come end of October. And the Giants are going to be a game under 500. So, mm-hmm. Well, what are we doing?
Yeah, they could be like a 4-4 team or a 4-3 or a 3-4 team, yeah. A 2-5 team. No idea.
Does that give me a boner to go get Giants tickets? It does not.
Here's the good news. You still have Washington twice a year.
I suppose. I don't know. I just was like kind of, I was a little bummed out.
Yeah, no, I get it. I got two texts from a couple of friends of mine that are Giant fans. One was annoyed, and the other was super excited. That's exactly the draft in a nutshell. No one knows.
Just like we had all those Eli defenders after he won his second Super Bowl, which is extremely impressive.
Oh, sure.
And he was terrible after that, mm-hmm. for years.
Yeah.
You still had the Eli defenders that just didn't, just like for whatever reason, you have Daniel Jones defenders.
That actually surprises me. Not that there's not a few, but that there's so many.
Yeah.
You know?
People love to defend their terrible quarterbacks.
Yeah, no, I get it. I mean, and his problem, again, is health. You're going to tell me he's getting through 17 games this season? I ain't buying it.
With that pencil neck, Jerry? I mean, he has a very thick neck, but it's like a pretzel stick.
He is a big guy. That's what's so, like, puzzling about when, like, Troy Aikman was a huge guy. His were head injuries, which were unfortunate, obviously. And it's good to see that he's okay mentally because he does a great job on, ESPN now. But it's weird when you see a big, thick quarterback that can't stay on the field. I would expect I remember I always said with Lamar Jackson, great quarterback. And this, I'm going back when I, like, filled in like 2017 or 18. I remember one summer I got into a fight with a guy that was a Ravens fan because I said, I don't believe in Lamar Jackson, not because of his talent, because I don't think with the way he plays, he's going to be able to stay healthy. And he has. And yet here's Daniel Jones, who's bigger and thicker and can't stay on the field for different reasons, obviously, but can't stay on the field.
Yeah, very strange.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Jets took an offensive lineman, Jerry. The heck is his name?
Olu Fashanu.
But in reading Aaron Rodgers' comments,
I know what you're going to say.
They make it seem like this guy ain't playing.
So Rodgers, and I could be a jerk, and I could clip one thing that he said, because when they first pick him and they first bring him a McAfee, his first comments are, well, you know, we brought in Morgan and we brought in Tyron Smith and, you know, really wasn't a position of need. I could clip it right there and make him sound like a jackass.
Let's do it.
But then he goes on to say, the kid hasn't given up a sack in all his years in college. He's a mauler.
A mauler, yeah.
He is going to be on this offensive line for years and years to come, longer than I'll be in New Jersey, and really likes the pick, says he believes he'll start on the inside, probably as a guard, and then move out. Remember, Tyron Smith's 35, so he's only here for a year or two, and Morgan Moses isn't 25 either. So that's a pick for the future, but you can probably play him now at a guard position is essentially what he was saying. So at least it's a pick that you put him on the field, and you hope he's the tackle for the next decade.
Now, you mentioned that about some of those Jets linemen being 35.
Yeah, sure.
Which is the age
I think.
Which is the age of Kirk Cousins,
mm-hmm.
who was evidently not very happy.
Tyron Smith is 33. I just want to correct myself.
33?
Yes.
He was not very happy with the Falcons taking Michael Penix.
Yeah, the word I read, and Moses is 33 as well, the word I read was confused by the pick.
Confused?
I get it. I understand.
And stunned, yeah. Said others.
Well, again, this would be like, I mean, you pay a guy, whatever the contract is, $35 million a year. He is, I know he's not a young quarterback, but we see quarterbacks play into their late 30s. I know he's coming off the injury, but for the most part, he's been a healthy quarterback, puts up big numbers, can throw the ball, has won a lot of games. You pay him to come in and do that, and then you say, we're going to take a quarterback number one. Now, again, no salary cap, all good. This is 1985, makes total sense. Here's your quarterback in 2027. But right now, I don't know. I thought it was a weird one, personally.
But they're looking to the future.
Right, but what do we say about winning in the NFL today? Not in the 80s, not in the early 90s, today. You try to win. When the quarterback is young before you have to pay him so that you can spread the money out to the rest of the team, you've paid Kirk Cousins, which means you've got your quarterback. Go get another position of need. I think.
Yeah.
I don't know. And I think the comment I did hear, the one thing I heard, and I didn't see it yet, I heard McMonagle driving in saying that the GM said it's okay if he sits for 4 or 5 years because that's a good problem to have.
Yeah.
So you just use a top 10 pick on a kid you're going to sit 4 years?
That's correct.
That seems like a bit of a reach. And it goes against, again, 20 years ago, I get it. That goes against everything that we know as the salary cap league it is now.
Well, he was probably just thinking, like, I got to say that. Otherwise, Kirk Cousins really going to be pissed, even more pissed than he
I'd be pissed, too, if I was Kirk Cousins. He goes out and has a bad game week 3. You don't think they're going to be writing about the next guy up? Of course they are.
Yeah, but they ain't going to do that.
Why?
Well, because of all the money they paid him. He's fine.
No. I'm not saying they're going to do that. I know he's fine. What I'm saying is the noise surrounding him. If he has a couple of bad games, you're going to have, where's Penix? The Kirk Cousins is old. It's enough. Let's see what the kid's got. Like, you drafted him in the first round. Play him. That's going to be, I agree with him. I'd be confused, too.
Yeah. Would you be, he was, quote, stunned and confused. Would you be more stunned or more confused?
Both. No, I equally both.
You probably are stunned first.
Yes, right? And then confused.
And then confused, right.
You're dumbfounded at first. Like, did they just draft my replacement? I just got here.
And by the way, Jerry, when I was on that, when I had a terrible phone connection to sports radio in Chicago, yeah. And I was picking for the Giants at number 6,
yeah,
and I took Michael Penix, people thought that was too high of a pick.
Guess you were right. Look
at
you.
Nailed it, Jerry. This is what I'm talking about. I'm a draft doctor.
No, that's what you are.
A draft expert, if you will.
Draft expert. I like it.
By the way, speaking of thick QBs, as you were mentioning before, the yesterday when the program was on and you guys were talking about the draft, they were running Caleb Williams, not in uniform, dropping back and throwing. That's a thick guy.
Mm.
That dude's thick, Jerry.
You have to be. You got to be strong.
Yeah, he just looked like thicker than I would have thought.
And so he goes to Chicago. That was the worst kept secret, huh?
And they also got that. Didn't he want that wide receiver they got? A number 9?
Yeah.
Who would that fella?
Odunze. Is that how you pronounce his name?
Rome Odunze. That's right. Jerry, would you get a Caleb Williams jersey or a Rome Odunze jersey?
If I was in Chicago?
Or a Jim McMahon, Walter Payton jersey. Just
I might
to be
go
safe.
The fridge.
Yeah, go fridge. Just to
be quite honest.
Maybe a Mike Singletary jersey.
They don't have a great track record with quarterbacks.
They don't.
So I don't know that I'm buying first, I'm probably not buying a jersey anyway, but if I was going to buy one, I don't think it would be a quarterback until he's here at least 3 or 4 years, and he looks like he knows what he's doing.
Right, you got the Bears quarterbacks, which are always terrible. Ugh. The USC quarterbacks, which end up being terrible.
Haven't been great.
That's a very bad combination, Jerry.
Yeah, have not been great. That is very true. Did you catch any of, and I know it's the, you catch any of Bill Belichick on Drake May?
I read all of his stuff. I didn't see the video. I read his
Watching
quotes.
It was outstanding. The way he was, I thought he was fair in his criticism or his critique because he showed you the good. And then showed you, and I think this goes to maybe where people fell in love with Zach Wilson and why it failed. He shows you how basically arm strength isn't the end-all be-all. Like, you have to see the field, and you've got to be decisive. And so he was showing on the clip that's out there when he was on McAfee last night, he was showing the good of Drake May and the arm strength and throws he can make. But then he was breaking down all the simple plays he wasn't making and the simple plays he doesn't make and the indecisiveness. And the other difference was in the NFL to the college game, the NFL is so much faster. The throws he were making for completions that were going for completions in college will not be there in the NFL. It was very interesting watching him, and he was running the tape, running it back, running the tape, and showing you all the formations. Pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, people seem to love Bill Belichick, thinking that, you know, how did that? People were saying prior to both Belichick and Brady, they could be good if they're actually going to be critical of people and not just say nice things. And people seem to like that Brady gave the good and the bad. Even with Caleb Williams and with the Drake May talking about his footwork also, Jerry.
And that was Brady?
Important. That was Belichick.
Oh, Belichick.
Yesterday.
Okay.
Footwork.
Yeah. Well, footwork's a big thing for a quarterback. No
doubt.
You got
to have the footwork, Jerry.
No doubt.
If you don't have the footwork, what do you have? No feet.
You got no feet.
A quarterback with no feet?
Two stubs.
Never been successful in the NFL.
I don't think we've seen it.
Check the statistics on
that. But we've seen a kicker missing toes.
Right.
Tom Dempsey.
Which I never felt was fair because he was wearing that foot.
How do we know there wasn't a steel front in there?
Right. His shoe looked like a brick because he had no toes or no foot or something.
Yeah,
that
I
didn't
know.
I never liked that record when he had the 63-yard field goal record. Glad it was broken.
It was. And several times over now.
Yeah.
Actually, guys can kick from 70, for God's sakes. So
there
you
right.
go. First round. Now, did you watch any of this last night, or this was too late? Because it moved quickly.
It was too late.
Okay.
But I was excited this morning, Jerry, when I got my big bowl of yogurt, and then I sat down with my iPad to see where everybody went. It was somewhat exciting.
I opened Twitter when I got here this morning, and I wasn't fully aware because I fell asleep. I'm trying to think. I was back and forth on the draft, and mostly the Knick game is what I was watching, but I was trying to go back on the draft, and it was moving fast, and I saw the Giants pick, and at that point, I kind of fell asleep. When I got here this morning, I opened Twitter, and the first thing I see was, you know, suggested for you or whatever it was. All I see is the top one was Giannotti. The Vikings are the effing worst. I'm like, who did they take? And I'm like, oh, my God, they ended up with J.J. McCarthy.
Yep.
After he's killed them for the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, he said he was not going to be a pro quarterback. He doesn't have the skills. Welcome to Minnesota.
That's hilarious. Wah. So I thought that was kind of funny. So anyhow, we got a lot to do. We're just getting started. It's 5:18.
Well, he's got J.J. McCarthy and Sam Darnold now. So I think everything's going to be all right.
What a quarterback room. Everything's going to be just
yeah,
fine.
Between them, we were talking about like the Vikings quarterback room and the Broncos.
Yeah, they right? took another quarterback. So
they got Bo Nix.
Along with Zach Wilson. Yep, Jared Stidham.
Yeah, Jared Stidham.
Oof.
Going to be a rough room.
Unless Bo Nix turns out to be a superstar.
Yeah, I suppose.
Who knows?
But none of them do it that first year. Like C.J. Stroud did.
He was really good, yeah.
Anthony Richardson started nicely. He started and he got
well,
hurt.
Yeah.
But
you don't know.
You never know, Jerry.
You do. And Tua started okay.
Did anybody get picked later quarterbacks? I didn't see any other quarterback names.
I don't have
the
list
names.
On me right in front, but I can
we'll
check.
We'll see today, actually. That's where some other quarterbacks
oh, in the
were
second round.
About, yeah.
There was six total.
Six total.
Right, but you had the three in the beginning. You had McCarthy, you had Nix, and Penix. So those would be the six. He's asking if there were any later in the first round.
He's saying no, just the six total. Yeah.
So there was nothing beyond that. All right, quick break. We'll come back. We got Boomer and Geo. It's Football Friday and Knicks Friday right here on The Fan.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Al and Jerry, number one with people up early and working out. If you're not listening, you're probably lazy.
I wouldn't argue with that.
Good 5:26, point. Yeah, good point. Nice to have you with us. It's Friday, so get your ass out of bed and start your weekend. Matter of fact, call out. Just listen to us, call out, go back to sleep at 10 o'clock.
That's a good idea.
Oh, no, listen to BT and Sal then at 10 o'clock. You just don't go to work.
Just say you're quote-unquote working from home or something.
You could do that. That
and then would do work. Nothing.
Yeah, could do that too.
Like most people do that work from home.
That is very true.
Although most people do when they come to work, too, though. Just like go on Facebook or something.
People are on computers walking around.
Yeah.
I would think if your idea of productivity is actually working for 8 hours and taking your one little break, that's false.
Some people shop on Amazon, research things that are interesting to them.
Yeah. I mean, they do all sorts of things on these computers. If I was a boss, you know what I would do?
I'd fire them.
No, I'd be like, I'd say, I take a look at your watch, see how many steps you got in today. Because if you're walking around here, that means you're not doing your work.
You know,
Super Z.
You know where you actually get productivity? When the boss is sitting right across from you or right next to you.
That's how I would be as a boss. I'd just be right.
You'd
on
hover.
Top. Oh, that'd be a hover.
Spitz was good like that in the newsroom.
I'd hover, be like, "What are you working on?
What do you got now?
Yeah.
Did you get that that interview? Did you cut that up?" By the way, very cool. I'm very excited to just since we're talking like station stuff real quick. Very excited, and I'm not going to do it because I want to surprise myself as well. We're going to get a new Nick call today. I can't believe they're starting a new guy in the playoffs. But apparently, Mike Green did the game on MSG last.
Oh, night. Mike Green,
mm-hmm.
Not Mike Breen.
No. It says Mike Green.
Is he the guy from ESPN?
No, that's Mike Greenberg.
Oh, okay.
This is Mike Green that did the game,
that's
apparently.
That's labeled in our system, Jerry?
Yeah.
Mike Green?
Yeah, Mike Green. And not only is it Green, it's G-R-E-E-N-E.
Yeah, well, it's a different spelling.
How about that?
Yeah.
Huh.
So this Knicks game, Jerry, so in waking up and grabbing my iPad and I see where these dudes went in the draft, then I saw the Knicks lost.
Yeah.
And then after I was reading some of the post-game comments by some of the Knicks players, I'm with them. Although they seemed like they were expecting a loss, almost like that the refs knew they screwed up in game two and feel like that the refs gave the Knicks that game. So they were going to do all they could to give the Sixers this game with the foul disparity, Jerry.
Mm-hmm.
This is a Josh Hart felt this way. Tom Thibodeau thought this way. Did you feel this way?
I would say that they made it very difficult on the Knicks. Number one, the fact that Joel Embiid goes to the free throw line and shoots 21 foul shots. This is what, if you remember before the series began, my one concern for the series, not just for this game, was that if Mitchell Robinson can't play Embiid, and I didn't know if he could or he couldn't, and it turns out to be, and the officials don't let them be physical with Philly, if Embiid goes to the line 20 times a game, they're not winning. I really believe that because he's an 89% free throw shooter. So anytime he goes there, he's basically making 2 of 2. Last night was the example. 19 of 21 from the foul line. He hits a few threes. He scores 50 points. Fine. The problem with last night was it felt slanted in Philadelphia's favor. So it's funny. Shaq's talking about why fans think the games are fixed. That felt like that to me. If for nothing else, why is Embiid not thrown out of that game after the Mitchell Robinson play? That's not a flagrant one. That's a flagrant two. And Robinson gets hurt. We might not see him the rest of the series.
So, yeah, I'm not a Knick fan, but I would be totally ticked off if I was, because that was awful.
Now, they said he didn't get hurt on that play.
It's part of it, though.
But it is part of it.
You're going to tell me
he's working the ankle.
You're going to tell me nothing got tweaked on that play? I mean, Embiid's on the ground and essentially rips at his ankle and his calf, and he doesn't pull him to the ground, but he trips him to the ground. That, to me, is all part of it.
Why do you think that was called the flagrant one and not a two?
Because they were not going to kick him out of the game.
They didn't want Joel Embiid.
They were not ejecting him from that game. And I was, at that point, I was just pulling into my driveway, actually, and I was listening to that on the radio. Monica McNutt does the, she's the analyst for the Knicks. She was, here's the word again, dumbfounded that that was only a flagrant one. And then I get in the house, and I put it on, and I saw it. I'm like, she's right. Kick him out. But yeah, they weren't. Can you imagine if they would have done that in Philadelphia? There's no way they were doing that.
Oh, kicked him out of the game? Yeah.
No way they were doing that. And then he goes on and has 50 points. Great. And he's got Bell's palsy, by the way.
Yeah, what is that?
It's a stroke, but it's like similar effects, right, Eddie, to the one side of the face, but it can heal. Now, I thought it could heal.
That's what Ralph Kiner was afflicted with.
Yeah, but Ralph Kiner was an old man.
Yes, he was. But if you remember, his speech was impacted in his later years.
See, I thought he had a stroke.
No.
That was Bell's palsy.
And it's like sort of the facial muscles sort of droop or lose strength.
Yes.
Why does our body attack us like this, Jerry?
You tell me. You read all these nutrition people.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
I mean, Joel Embiid's got to be in terrific shape.
He's in wonderful shape.
Ralph Kiner was an older man. Joel Embiid is a top athlete.
Yeah, I don't know.
How's he getting this?
I do not know. There's been a lot of younger athletes that have been afflicted with some terrible things.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So Josh Hart said, Jerry, quote, "We knew what game three was going to be. Come on now. We knew, especially how game two ended." Do you think the Knicks players went in knowing they were going to have the Sixers were going to have an unfair advantage and that they didn't play up to their potential because they went in knowing we're going to get screwed because of how game two
ended? I don't know that they didn't play up to their potential. I mean, the Knicks played well in that first half. It was the third quarter where things got away from them. They were winning at halftime.
Oh.
So I don't, Jalen Brunson, who, you know, we're talking about where is he in the series, he's struggling. He had 39 points. He shot it well. He had 13 assists. Like, they played well. I don't think they played a poor game, but I do think that they were a little bit of an unfair disadvantage last night. Did they know? I mean, clearly you've got to expect a more physical game. You're going on the road in Philadelphia. They're ticked off. They know they just gave one away in game two. But I don't know. Do I think Jalen Brunson walked onto that floor saying, "We ain't winning tonight"? No, I don't. I don't think that.
Okay, that's good.
I don't.
So game four is Sunday.
Not till Sunday.
1 p.m. It's a Sunday 1 p.m. or Jerry.
Yeah. I got a baseball game, so that's a problem.
You're going to have to check the game replay.
Yep.
Something like that.
Yes, I will.
Hmm.
I hate the 2 days. You want to give them 2 days for travel. That's fine. I hate when they're in one city and they have the 2 days off. Like, they're in Philly. Play tomorrow.
Yeah, what are they doing?
Taking an extra day.
But what do they do in Philadelphia today?
Practice for 2 hours, have a team meal, have a little film, maybe go out and see a show. I don't know. I don't know. Go see the Rocky statue? I don't know.
Rocky statue, Liberty Bell, cheesesteak, do all the generic Philadelphia things.
But they went to Villanova. They've been there.
Oh, right. They went to Villanova.
Maybe they go see friends and family. I don't know, man.
And you got to be smart to get in Villanova. I would have had no shot. Or be a really good athlete.
And get a scholarship.
Of which I was neither.
Hmm. Hence, so when you're, no Villanova for you.
Right.
Imagine, you're talking about Villanova. Could you imagine trying to get into Penn?
That doesn't seem fair.
They would send you, they'd send it back saying, "Are you serious?" Me too, by the way.
I'm seeing your SAT scores, 800. Did you forget to send us the second half of these?
Did you finish the SAT?
No, I finished them. And that is the full score there.
I'm just dumb.
I did, I actually was able to watch some of this Knicks game yesterday, Jerry, because I have Max.
Yeah.
And they have the TNT and all that stuff.
It was Spiro, right?
That I'm not sure about.
Okay.
Let's be honest. I watched the pregame. Okay. I was asleep by the actual game. But, remember the other day when you talked about how the Milwaukee Bucks Twitter account put out the thing that said nobody cares about the 82-game season. Now it's playoff time.
82 games, nobody cares. Now it matters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they were running a very similar-sounding promo voiced by Chris Rock with a number of NBA players in it, where Chris Rock, the voiceover guy, was essentially saying, like, that's not real that there's a next gear level for the playoffs. And the player's like, oh, it's a real thing. So they're, again,
it
telling
is a real
you
thing.
In the promos.
Yeah, it's awful.
Oh, it's the playoffs. We're going to play now up to our full potential.
I think it's terrible. I really do. The Knicks are a team that gave you effort every night. They're one of few teams that have done that. A lot, and I've told you my complaints with watching the Nets. It's like they don't care. They're just jogging up the floor. And it's not just them. It's the league. And the league, to me, has a major problem on its hands when it comes to regular season basketball. No one, because we talked about the ratings. Not many people are watching regular season basketball. That's an issue. That's a big issue when these guys are getting paid what they're getting paid. You know what was really good was I do enjoy the Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart podcast, and it comes out every Thursday. Clyde Frazier was the guest this week, and I only got through about an hour of it, maybe 45 minutes of it. And it was interesting because he was talking about how difficult it was back in the day to play and the grind that they had and the way that they would play. You know, back-to-backs were common. But what was really interesting was they asked him about being a broadcaster. He's like, oh, doing TV is easy. You're just having a conversation, work with Brian. It's great. He kept referencing, and I got to go back. Maybe, Eddie, you'd remember this. He kept remembering how much he, or saying how much he enjoys TV now because you can talk. He goes, that first guy I worked with on radio never let me say anything. He goes, that's where the rhymes came in. He felt like when the play-by-play guy would take a breath, he would just get in, oh, they're swishing and dishing. Like, and that's it. He had
Jim Carvallis.
It was. So I thought it was Gus. So Jim Carvallis. Clyde was doing games with Jim Carvallis?
Yeah, that when I first started at The Fan.
Wow.
And when we got the Knicks games.
Okay. Because I remember Breen. Breen was on radio first. Sorry, it couldn't have been Gus because Gus was after Breen. So it was Jim Carvallis.
And Carvallis used to, when I used to board up the games, used to, you know, with the credits.
Yeah.
He used to screw up my name all the time. It was great.
Eddie Scazzeri?
Scorsese. It was great.
He never got it even after doing it after every game?
Yeah.
It's funny. So anyway, so he clearly not a fan of him.
Yeah.
Because he wrote not just once, like three different times. Was like that first guy I worked with.
He really stinks, that first guy.
Wouldn't let him talk. Yeah. If you like these personalities, and I think Hart and Brunson are fun, it's a really good show. It was with Clyde. It was cool. I got to watch. I got like a half hour more. I got to watch. It was pretty good.
All right, I'll get to that podcast. Right now, I'm listening to a guy who claims we didn't land on the moon. So after that one, Jerry,
is that Tom Izzo?
after that one, I'm gonna go to this Josh Hart.
You're not gonna go to
it. You don't know that.
I do know that. You just claimed
you do know that.
You just claimed you watched the Knick game last night because you have Max, and then 30 seconds in, when I asked you a question, you revealed, oh, actually, I put the pregame show on.
I did have the pregame show. It was pretty good.
You are not putting the Josh Hart and Jalen Brunson podcast on.
I'm not, but I do enjoy that you play clips, and I feel like I've heard the good stuff.
I suppose. I mean, the podcast is 2 hours long, and I give you 7 seconds.
Yeah, I feel like you really like
that's
you.
That's about right.
You really focus it down, Jerry. I appreciate that.
You know what? I play what I find interesting. You might find other things interesting in it.
That might be a good service, a cool business, Jerry. You go through podcasts, and you know these podcasts are an hour long, 2 hours, 3 hours long, multiple times a week. You just break it down into the one clip.
It's called Twitter.
Oh, Twitter does this already?
I mean, yes.
Oh, okay.
They put that, like McAfee's on for 3 hours every day, and every day you get a few 15-second clips of what happened on McAfee, and they've pretty much done it already.
Right. We've weeded down your 4-hour show into this 15-second clip.
Stupid. Not that, but who's got all that time?
No,
I don't. No, you might. I don't.
I don't.
Okay.
And I have a lot of time on my
hands. If you don't, then who does?
Exactly. Mm. That's a great point. If I don't have time to consume all these podcasts, who does?
Nobody. I'll take a quick break. When we come back, we've got more to do. And we got Boomer and Gio going to break it all down for you at 6 o'clock on The Fan.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns.
Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Al and Jerry, able to bench press a combined 150 pounds.
Hey, Huey Lewis, what is up? It is quarter to six. Huey Lewis?
No. It is Huey Lewis.
Confused myself right now.
By the way, I saw yesterday a woman, a New York woman, filmed.
I saw this. Again, why is this not the front page?
Yeah, she filmed on an airplane over LaGuardia. Yeah. What looks like a UFO.
This is one of the first things that I will sit there and say, ugh, this doesn't look great. Because this is a camera phone on a plane. Someone else on the plane saw it as well.
Right.
And when they submitted it to the FAA and to other people, no one's got an explanation for it. Problematic.
Yeah. Right. Even if it's not a little green man flying in a thing, it's something.
But you know what the problem is? The Giants took Malik Nabers. And the Knicks lost in Philly.
Yes. But meanwhile, we got UFOs flying over LaGuardia Airport.
It really, and I thought the movie was terrible. Was it Matt Damon? It was the Matt Damon or Leonardo DiCaprio. I forget who it was. The Look Up, that Netflix movie, which was about the world ending, essentially.
Oh.
But no one believed it. The movie was terrible. But the premise was really good. And it was essentially that we're about to get hit with an asteroid. Because here it comes. But no one believed it, and they just kept going on with their daily life as if it didn't exist. Next thing you know, the thing crashes. Boom! World over.
Yeah.
That's what I feel like these have become.
Because people are like, oh, maybe it's a drone. That's like the new thing now. Everything's just a drone. Okay, so why are drones flying near our airplanes?
They shouldn't be. They should. And it might be a drone. Don't know. But it shouldn't be there.
Right. And who's flying
the drone?
Which
is also problematic.
Correct.
Russia.
Man, when I go on this little cruise this summer, Jerry, I'm going to be looking for UFOs, diving into the water, because that's where they live.
I'll give you my GoPro and about 9 batteries. I want you to run it continuously.
Right. I was going to run it continuously. Eventually, I'm going to see a UFO.
Ay, ay, ay.
Jerry, would you consider Joel Embiid an enemy of New York sports? Like, would we put him in that category?
After last night, yeah, I would.
You would already put him in that category?
I think last night was bad.
Or does it have to get worse?
I think last night was bad. Yeah. Well, let me step back. If the Sixers wind up winning this series, he becomes a villain.
Like, who's more of a villain to New York historically? Would you say, who's that punk, Chase Utley? Would you say he's in Chase Utley territory or not yet?
If they win the series,
he is.
I think so. I think you could start to make that case. Yeah. You disagree?
No,
I'm
starting to.
Philly.
That's what I'm saying.
I know Utley was with the Dodgers for one of them. Yeah. That was the one game. And was it Ruben Tejada? Is that who that was that broke his leg?
That
sound right?
That actually.
I think it was. Mm. But that was with the Dodgers. But Chase Utley was a Philly.
That's right.
And who was the. Oh, man, I'm blanking out. Who was the Philly that hit those big home runs? Oh, God.
Against who?
Against the Mets. Every time they played him, he hit home runs. He wasn't a great player.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, come on.
Pat
McGroin. No.
Pat Burrell?
Pat Burrell.
No.
Pat the Bat?
Was it Pat Burrell?
That's who
Pat Burrell.
Thinking. Pat Burrell.
Maybe, is that his?
I think so.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was a real jerk.
But
Google it.
Chase Utley and Joel Embiid. Yeah. If the Sixers wind up winning this series.
Yeah.
Like, does Mitchell Robinson play Sunday?
Does he play in game five? Is he done for the season? Like, that's a problem.
Right. Maybe we got to take out Joel Embiid, Jerry.
Because the one thing about games one and two, specifically game one, Mitchell Robinson, while other guys played well, Mitchell Robinson's presence on the floor and the way he defended Embiid in game one specifically, to me, was eye-opening. I knew he was a good defender. I thought he was phenomenal in game one, and he makes them defensively so much better. You take him off the floor, I'm not saying they can't win. They can, because they won plenty without him this year. But, man, that's a tough ask, because that's six more fouls you don't get to at least hack away on Embiid and make things more difficult and match up body to body. That puts them, forget the officiating, that puts them at more of a disadvantage in the series if he can't play, a big disadvantage.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I am rooting for the Knicks, Jerry, but I wouldn't mind the Knicks losing this next game and it coming back to the Garden at 2-2.
And the Knicks fans all ticked on the Garden. They'll be hostile.
Yeah. And then what I'll do, Jerry, is I'll just wait outside the Garden for Knicks victory so I could get in that thing where we're all going, we're jumping around.
You should go with Izzo.
Woo-hoo.
And then take the next day off. Do it for digital.
Digital.
Hang out in Manhattan outside the Garden.
Because I think that game's on Tuesday. Because they play Sunday, then I think they play Tuesday.
Is that when game five would be?
Okay. I believe I saw
so,
that.
Perfect. You take off Wednesday. You'll be out on 33rd Street. Tuesday night, game ends around 9:30, 9:45. Assuming the Knicks win. You don't want to be there if they lose.
No, I'd head right home.
Knicks win, and you in the middle of it with Izzo filming you. And you can start yelling, wee hee.
Yeah. I saw a story yesterday, Jerry, that people wanted to paint as an anti-American story, but it isn't when you look into it. So Cubs reliever Luke Little had to change gloves when he was on the mound because his glove has an American flag on it. And people were like, this is, everyone hates America. Even Americans are against America. And he's not allowed to show his patriotism because he's got an American flag on his glove. But it turns out, Jerry, the American flag has the color white in it. And you are not allowed to have white on your glove as a pitcher. Deceptive. Looks like a baseball.
Yeah. But why?
I am a real American.
Why would anybody have thought he would be un-American if it was his glove and he put the flag on?
No, they're saying un-American of baseball to make him not be able to use it.
Yeah, well, that is a big problem with the colors.
Yeah, you can't have white on your glove. I'm sorry. No. It does look like a baseball.
It can, and it can certainly screw with the batter's eye, as they say.
So he tweeted out that he's proud to be an American, and he tweeted out the picture of Hulk Hogan playing electric guitar to I Am a Real American.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think just the fact that he put an American flag on his glove tells you that.
But I actually had people write to me.
When was this? Yesterday?
Yesterday, yeah. You got to, you and Jerry got to address this. This is anti-American, what Major League Baseball is doing. Was not anti-American. I'm all for a good conspiracy, Jerry. But this was just that you can't have white. He said, I've been using this glove forever.
People need a hobby.
But sometimes we start to enforce the rules.
Anti-American. And then on the 4th of July and on Memorial Day, Labor Day, they wear the patriotic hat.
That's true.
Oh, yeah, come on. Which are awesome.
And we have the national anthem before every game. So shut the
hell And the Yankees are still also doing true. God Bless America.
Yes, they are.
Also true, Jerry. We are killing it.
And the Mets have Wiener.
Seymour Wiener.
Who is a World War II veteran.
That's and Max true. Wiener.
And Max Wiener, who is a rally pimp.
Well, I don't care about him. We're talking about America. He's a World War II. What does he have to do with America?
The rally
at least
pimp?
Seymour Wiener, at least, was a World War II veteran.
That he was.
The other guy is just us, except he dresses funny and he gets
on TV.
I like when I see an old guy wearing like a hat that tells me what war he was
yeah.
in.
Yeah. My dad started doing that about 6 months ago.
I would definitely do
that. I like
that.
It.
If I was, even if I didn't see any action, I would do it.
If you were part of the military and you, I guess.
I might do it just because my dad was in Vietnam. Take a little credit.
What? I'm the son of?
Correct. That would be in small print.
You are too much.
Son of Vietnam veteran.
Font 4. And then everything goes font 10. We got to take a break. Odyssey Sportsman and Amy Lawrence on last night. Boomer and Geo and
WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM HD1 New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.